Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. Well, you may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. That's right, it is the Weekly Worldview, and I am your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back to the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors, and we want to invite you to enjoy with us a warmer winter, a warmer-than-average winter with lots of sunshine and more good times and happiness. Enjoy it with us. That's right. That's our invitation. I'm just trying to offset the gloom and doom dire, what you're going to see on the TV, if you watch TV anymore, what you're going to see on the live feed with the Hyde and Barris administration, their gloom and doom, and their announcement that the camps are being built for the unvaccinated, or whatever he's going to announce on Tuesday. I don't know. I don't want to get into all that. Anyway, it's going to be warmer than average and lots of good times and sunshine this winter. It's going to be a great winter, and we hope that you will come and enjoy it along with us. Should I just, where should I start? I'm going to go to Mayfield, Kentucky, where the tornadoes, you remember the tornadoes hit about a week ago, this past week in Mayfield? I know, it's hard to remind people of things that happened a week ago. What was I looking at in my, does anybody remember what happened in Waukesha, Wisconsin? Does that ring a bell with anybody? Waukesha? Crickets. Crickets. Sunday, November 21st, right before Thanksgiving, the beginning of Thanksgiving week, when a madman drove a truck into children and old people in a Christmas parade in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Does anybody remember the massacre in Waukesha? Anyway, I just wanted to remind you that we haven't forgot about the massacre in Waukesha. And that the maniac who was involved was not only was he a supporter of the Black Lives Matter insurrectionist movement, he had also called for violence against normal people on his website. Some of them were even white people. But mostly what he was mad at was normal people, meaning not deranged perverts like himself and the leaders of the Black Lives Matter insurrectionist movement. I downloaded the story from the Liberty Nation. I'm sorry, just libertynation.com if you want to check it out. And they talk about what all happened and how it's disappeared from the headlines. And they say that high-profile individuals, including Joe Rogan, are lambasting the press for covering up the details of the tragedy. Joe Rogan made fun of the fact that various news outlets led with headlines stating that a car had run into a crowd. A car ran into a crowd. Instead of a maniac mowed down old women and children, they said a car drove into a crowd. Anyway, congratulations, Joe Rogan. You know what? I'm sorry. Joe Rogan will not be a part of the solution. No, a foul-mouthed heathen, even a foul-mouthed heathen can recognize such a gross misrepresentation of the truth. But that's as far as you can throw Joe Rogan. And I know he's witty, and he's got muscles, and he's not a moron, but he's not a part of the solution. I'm sorry. He's not a part of the solution. We here at the Weekly Worldview, we are a part of the solution. And that's probably why the podcast will never be quite as popular as Joe Rogan's, because we offend a lot more people than Joe. If you think Joe Rogan was good at offending, well, you should check us out. Welcome again to a warmer than average winter with lots of sunshine and more good times and happiness. So a friend of mine, well, I don't know if I'd call him a friend, an acquaintance of mine, an associate, he tuned into the podcast not too long ago, and he said, Doug, it sounds like you use a different voice on the air than what I hear you using when we're just having a normal, average conversation. And I said, well, of course, I'm using my on-air voice. It's an on-air voice. It's designed to be pumped out across the airwaves so that the entire vast humanity can hear my voice. And so, I don't talk in normal average conversation. So here's normal average conversation. What are you talking about? Oh, really? Is that what she said? Huh. Well, I would have thought she would have known better than that. What? Say again? Oh, okay, sure. What time do you want to pick up the car? Anyway, so then he says, you're using a radio voice. So I just want to let folks know out there that the enunciation and whatnot of the broadcaster voice is, well, first of all, the intro to the show. The intro to the show is an homage to Paul Harvey. And so I know I've dated myself there. Those of you who don't know who Paul Harvey is, you're young. Those of you who do know, look in the mirror. You're getting pretty old. But it's an homage to Paul Harvey. That is. And so, yes, I'm stealing material from Paul Harvey. I'm copying Paul Harvey to a certain degree. I'm stealing material from other broadcasters that I've listened to over the years, including various radio disc jockeys that I grew up with, and Rush Limbaugh and Michael Savage. But hey, that's what we do. We copy each other. We steal material from each other. As long as we give credit where credit is due, it's all taken in good fun. All right. So that's it. I wanted to, yes, my voice is a little bit different on the air than it is when I'm in a normal conversation with you. If you are my friend, and you're probably not, because I can count my friends on less than one hand. So, but if you're an acquaintance, an associate, and a listener to the show, and we happen to run into each other at a coffee shop, I will probably not enunciate as clearly, nor will I project the voice quite as much as I do when we're here on the air. What else do we want to get into? Joe Manchin. Not to get too deep into politics, because I don't care, and you know that. But Joe Manchin has decided not to vote for Joe Biden's communist, the final checkmate move in the communist coup that has conquered America quite quietly and easily. Joe Manchin decided to vote against it, or decided not to vote for it. I don't know. He decided not to show up or stay in the cloakroom, or I don't know what Joe Manchin. He's not going to vote for Joe Biden's agenda. And I don't know. Is that going to be the big story this coming week? I don't think so. I'm going to tell you what the big story is, but in just a minute. But anyway, on Joe Manchin, Joe Manchin is the Democrat who, if you've been paying attention, he's always been just a little bit uncomfortable with all the babies he kills. All the babies that Joe Manchin murders, that Joe Manchin takes part in the orchestrated, managed, administered murder of millions and millions of babies. And you can tell that he's always been just a little bit uncomfortable with it, because he squeals and he makes a few noises every few election cycles about it. And so now, apparently, Joe Manchin is the one Democrat who's still just a little bit uncomfortable with the final checkmate move of the communist coup to take out America, to wash away George Washington and all of that. Joe Manchin is like, either that or they just didn't pay him off in the proper way. Joe Manchin was looking for some grease here and a little bit there, and it just didn't come together. The deal couldn't be made for whatever reason. When Joe Manchin has been petitioned to administer the legal slaughter of millions and millions of innocent people, they've always been able to find a deal with Joe. They've always been able to find a way to write it in and work it around so that Joe didn't feel so guilty, but this time they couldn't. And you know what? That's it for Joe Manchin. I don't care anymore. That's it. All right. So we'll go. Did I go to Mayfield, Kentucky with the tornadoes? Oh, no, that's right. We went to Waukesha to remind you that there was a massacre of one of the coup supporters, one of the insurrectionists who massacred all those women and children in the Christmas parade, a direct attack on Christianity, Christians, Christian liberty, old women and children. And we're not going to forget. And that guy needs to be held to account. And he needs to be put to death with extreme prejudice quickly and painfully. And if he's not, we will continue to protest about it. We're not going to let you forget about him. We're not going to say his name, but we're going to remind you that a racist, communist, sex pervert, insurrectionist criminal murdered old women and children in a Christmas parade in Waukesha. We're not going to let you forget about it. And meanwhile, we go to Mayfield, Kentucky, where the heartland is getting its just desserts. The heartland is getting its just desserts. This past week, tornadoes ripped through five states. They killed about 100 people. It was horrible, awful, terrifying. And now, those same people of the heartland, those very same fine people in the American heartland, who have tolerated the slaughter of tens of millions of innocent people in their midst, voted on by folks like Joe Manchin, administered by people like Donald Trump and George W. Bush and Bill Clinton and Barack Obama and who is it now? I forget. The Hyde-Barris administration. That slaughter on an epic historic scale of nearly 70 million innocent people. Those same fine Americans who've tolerated that and been quiet, they're being looted in the midst of the tornadoes. According to the sheriff in Mayfield, Kentucky, the town that was pretty much wiped off the face of the map there in Kentucky, there are looters on crystal meth going through and stealing just about anything they can get their hands on, ripping the copper out of the ground of the houses where the people sat quietly while their neighbors were butchered for a generation or two or three. While everyone sat quietly, while all the innocent children were murdered, little did they know that right in their midst would rise up a generation that would loot them after the tornadoes, come and rip the copper out of the ground, steal their cars. The fine folks in the heartland who didn't see fit to stand up for the slaughter of the innocent are now being looted in the wake of the tornadoes. So what more do you need to say about that? It's your just desserts because you sat by silently. Didn't you realize that if you allowed murder to become endemic, if you decided to weave murder into the fabric of the nation, that looting after a tornado would be a mere afterthought. It would be almost a reflexive action of the generation that rose up in the midst of all that bloodshed. So that's what you get, America. And we don't want you to get that. We'd rather you didn't. But while you're getting it, we're just going to remind you why you're getting it. That's why. It's because the ground is polluted with innocent blood, and it cries out to the Lord, and a generation rise up who's been taught that killing is an option, and so looting is a really easy option for them. All right, I'm going to go now to the headline of the week in the throne room of God. This is the biggest story of the week, and it has to do with the FDA, but it doesn't have anything to do with the Omicron variant, as my daughters have dubbed it. The Omicron variant. Not the unicorn, the Omicron. Anyway, the Food and Drug Administration made a move this past week that is making headlines in the throne room of God, and for that you should be terrified. The FDA permanently lifted restrictions on the mail order distribution of abortion pills. So pills that kill little innocent babies that God loves, pills that kill little innocent babies, the FDA is now going to allow them to be sent out, to be distributed via mail order. But don't worry, folks. Don't worry. Dispensing pharmacies will have to be registered with the FDA. So, I mean, we got that going for us. Not only are they going to mail out pills to kill babies, but there's going to be an official record kept by the government, and it's going to be endorsed and regulated by the Food and Drug Administration at the highest echelons in power in the national government. And even if the FDA didn't keep track, just so you know, don't worry about that, because God will be keeping track of every pill. How did this happen? How did this happen? Well, that's a long story. But this latest chapter, the American Civil Liberties Union had argued that restrictions on mail-order abortions blocked medical care, especially for people in low-income and rural communities, whom the American Civil Liberties Union most despises. That's right. That's right. Minority, low-income, rural. Those are the people the ACLU most wants to kill, and so they have succeeded in executing a policy, or at least supporting the execution of a policy that will execute people in the communities that the ACLU despises. The reporters at Newsmax, who are just this side of despicable, maybe that side once in a while, they say mail order abortion pills could pose a dilemma for the pro-life movement, given that pro-lifers say they don't favor criminalizing the actions of women seeking abortions. And that would be true of pro-lifers. They say they don't want to make murdering innocent people a crime. Those of us who are anti-abortion, those of us who are pro-Christian liberty, those of us who are just plain old Christians, not even great Christians, not even strong Christians, just average, ordinary Christians, we think murdering innocent people should be a crime. And so we have separated from the pro-life movement who says it's not a crime. We think it is a crime. And by the way, that's why we want to make it illegal, because it's a crime. And one of the reasons the pro-life movement has lost is because they say, we don't want to make it a crime. We just want to make it illegal. And to which people got confused, and that was all of that. Anyway, anti-abortionists and Christians say that murdering innocents is a crime. Pro-lifers say it's not. That's why they've lost. Not to put too fine a point on it, but there you go. Anyway, Newsmax continues in despicable fashion. They say both sides of the abortion pro-life debate wait right now to see if the Supreme Court will weaken or even overturn Roe versus Wade. And what does Newsmax call Roe v. Wade? The decision that guarantees the right to abortion nationwide. That's Newsmax, supposedly a right-wing conservative. Get out of here with that. It's the Weekly Worldview. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Just want to close out this story, the top headline in the Throne Room of God, by reminding you all that so-called medication abortion, which is what Newsmax, the right-wing news outlet, calls it, medication abortion, has been legal in the U.S. since 2000. It's mifepristone and misoprostol, the two drugs that murder innocent people. The smallest, most defenseless. And according to the best data, about 40% of abortions are now done through what Newsmax calls medication, what I would call a chemical weapon, rather than surgery. So the reduction in surgical abortion, it's not because we're winning. It's because the devil and the devil's minions have found a way to murder the innocent just more cleanly and more clinically and more quietly. Well, we're shouting it from the rooftops. And this headline is top news in the Throne Room of God. And that should scare the hell out of everyone. All right. And from there, we go to the end of the world file, where China has developed humanized pigs. China has developed humanized pigs susceptible to the human strain of the particular coronavirus in vogue right now. They use gene editing technology CRISPR to make the pigs lose their ability to resist the portions of the alleged portions of the spiked alleged all this stuff on the alleged cold virus that allegedly attacks humans that the Chinese have convinced the whole world to be terrified of. And the pigs, these humanized pigs, are going to be used as test subjects in ongoing research to try to eradicate a cold virus. And just hold that thought, because we'll get back to that. So the headline was on Zero Hedge, and I don't know. It's the headline is almost designed to act as if China is some sort of barbaric dictatorship because they've humanized these pigs. And I just want to remind you and the authors at Zero Hedge that in America, we don't use gene editing technologies to make animals' bodies behave more like humans for research. That's what the Chinese have done here. In America, land of the free, home of the brave, truth, justice, and the American way. Remember all that? In America, we harvest the bodies of innocent people and tear their flesh off their bones, and then we mix it with the flesh of living mice in order to make those mice lungs behave like human lungs. And we do that for research on almost all drugs and almost all vaccines now. That's what we do in America. It's not the godless hordes of the red Chinese. It's America, with more Baptist churches per capita than anywhere on the planet. It's America where we do that. And so we've got what? What do we have? America against the China. Who's supposed to stand against the godless hordes? The world has descended into the Russian front. There are no good guys anymore. It pains me to say that America is no longer the good guy, because, I mean, there was a time when I was younger when I picked up a rifle and I volunteered to march into fire for something I thought of as America, which was good and truth and justice and liberty and freedom. And all of that. But the most recent young man who asked me if he should join the military, I said I wouldn't do it. No, I don't think you should. All right. But where do I want to go? I just want to tell everybody, just part of my personal life, not to get too deep into it, but I have a friend who's 84 years old. She had a cough and a hack last week, developed a fever. And so we didn't freak out, neither did she, and she's better now. And then our 12-year-old, our daughter, had a fever last night. She has a scratchy throat this morning. We're not going to go hide under the bus yet. We have some pallets and some tarps in the back in case we feel like hiding, and we want to go hide under those. We've got some desks and some tables that we can hide under. But we've chosen not to hide yet, although it looks pretty ominous. She had a fever last night, scratchy throat, and a little sniffle this morning. So just please keep us in your thoughts and prayers that we're able to somehow navigate through. All right, let's see here. Over in the United, not the United Nations, I apologize, there's a Freudian slip. The EU... not the UN, but the EU, another bipolar, what are they called? Not an anachronism, not an analogy. What is it when you use the letters? An acronym. Another bipolar acronym is what I was going for there. Not the UN, but the EU. The European Union's Commissioner for Equality. Which the European Union's Commissioner for Equality, who in days past was mocked by so-called conservatives as just silly, made-up leftist claptrap. These leftists, they just entertain themselves with silliness. And so they make up these titles and they put badges on their lapels of their jackets, and they go around and act like they're actually doing something when they're just silly liberals. Well, the EU Commissioner for Equality has issued a report, basically, in the report, the commissioner cites the necessity for replacing terms like ladies and gentlemen with dear colleagues, talks about the perils of assuming anyone's gender, wants to eliminate references to Christianity or Christmas. Because the last thing we want to do, says the EU Commissioner of Equality, says the last thing we want to do is assume everyone is Christian, which I would agree with the pervert EU commissioner. The last thing we want to do is assume everyone's a Christian. We want to assume everyone is on their way straight to hell with jet rockets, and therefore we will impart the gospel to them and hopefully save their souls from eternal damnation. But that's not her point. No, it's not about saving anyone's soul. It's about eliminating Christians and Christianity. She wants the whole world to switch to a more generic term like holiday. Well, not the whole world, just the EU. Did you get any of it on you? No, ew. I didn't get any on me. Did you get any on you? Ew. Anyway, she also implied that, is it a she? Well, it's Helena Dolly, but we don't know what her... I'll just move on. Helena implied that Christian names such as Mary and John are problematic. Fortunately, the commissioner of the EU, which is Ursula, not to be confused with the commissioner of equality, which is Helena. Then this is like right out of a James Bond novel, right? You've got Ursula and Helena writing diktats to the peasants in Europe. I mean, you can see them with their leather outfits and their overdone makeup and their extremely poofy hair, right? And the tattoos and the scepter, right? It's like a James Bond, Ursula and Helena. Ursula withdrew Helena's guidelines after there were complaints from other members of the commissionariat, I guess you would call it, there at the EU. They said that her diktats did not meet quality standards. And Commissioner Ursula asked Commissioner Helena to work on the document again, and then it will be resubmitted at some future date. Because why? Because the European commissioners actually have power. It's not just an academic, it's not just a funny, laughable, semi-comedic academic exercise anymore. These creepy perverts actually rule the world. They actually rule the European Union. Uh-huh, I know. And so Ursula looks at what should be a career-ending event that Helena has committed in suggesting that ladies and gentlemen don't exist, and that John and Mary shouldn't exist, and that Christianity shouldn't exist, and that instead of Christmas, it should just be the holidays, and we should basically blur out our entire history and make everything confusing and bland and stupid and dangerous and poisonous. And that should have been a career-ending event for Helena, but Ursula looks at it, right? And instead of ending Helena's commission, Helena is actually encouraged by Ursula over in the deep dark state to refine that message and just try again.
Wreck is going down.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, as we go from the to Israel and over to Ukraine, where the Ukrainian ambassador to Israel has said that his country now recognizes Jerusalem as Israel's one and only capital, and Ukraine insists it will open an embassy in Jerusalem upon a visit there by Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. Not the Ukrainian President Vladimir Putin. Don't get confused. So the EU, by the way, the EU and Israel are both ruled by hysterical tyrants and perverts. Israel is governed right now by a bunch of deranged communist tyrannical sex perverts. And God is offended by the extremity of their apostasy. They are a stench in the nose of God. That is the Israeli state right now. And the Israeli state is a member of the sex pervert cult that has somehow assumed power all over the world. And the EU is all that. And now Ukraine wants to join the EU so they can legalize and make normal everything that is perverse and horrible and awful. And we at the Worldview find ourselves uncomfortably looking at the idea of the Russians coming into Ukraine and putting an end to the madness as less troubling than the madness. So when you're looking at the Russians coming and conquering as being less dangerous than what's about to happen, then that's pretty bad. The world's in pretty bad shape. But just so you know, just because someone stands up and says they recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel doesn't mean that you have to cheer them on, because Jerusalem is full of perverts and tyrants and communists and God haters and baby killers. The land is soaked with innocent blood from Jerusalem all the way around through Ukraine, on through China, all the way back to the West Coast and across to New York City. It's all covered and bloody and crying out, screaming out to the Lord for vengeance. And how long will he restrain himself? How long, O Lord, until you avenge our blood upon those who dwell upon the face of the earth? How long indeed? Well, let's go to Haiti from the Voodoo Politics file, where the 12 remaining Christian missionaries who were kidnapped, they've all been released. They've all been released by the Haitian gang 400 Mawozo. That's the name of the gang. 400 Mawozo, probably something lost in translation there. Initially, the gang had demanded $1 million per hostage, and there were 18 initially. And so it's unclear if or how much money was paid to the gang. So nobody really knows, because the State Department hasn't been involved. They did not immediately respond, but they did issue a statement later. Apparently, they wanted the group that sponsored the missionaries was an outfit called Christian Aid Ministries. And the State Department issued a statement, well, a question, asking Christian Aid Ministries, could they please define the term Christian missionaries, ... And then asking where is Haiti, ... Where is Haiti, said the spokeswoman for the U.S. State Department. Haiti, is that like off Asprey in like San Francisco? Where exactly is that? All right. So anyway, we're thankful that the Christian missionaries have been released in Haiti. We hope nobody paid a ransom, because that would be despicable. If I were a Christian hostage, I'd rather die than have someone pay a ransom. Actually, I'd rather die trying to escape and hopefully inflicting some casualties on my captors. After having duly preached the gospel to them, then I would rain down hellfire and damnation upon them as much as I possibly could, trying to escape and then either escape or die. I'd rather do any of that. But anyway, that all goes to... we're going to get to the implosion of the medical profession. Can I do this yet? This is... So, folks, what I'm predicting for the winter, that here at the McBurney compound, we are predicting a warmer than average winter with lots of sunshine and more good times and happiness. That's what we're going to have. But what I predict for the masses, the poor, pathetic, shockingly stupid masses who have shocked all of us here at the McBurney compound with their capacity for stupidity and lemming-like behavior. It's been shocking to watch. What we predict for all of you is not people in this audience, of course. When I say you, I mean generically to all the other people out there that we so often talk about here. I predict that the medical tyranny to whom you've given power, whom you authorized to start butchering innocent people about 50 years ago, 60 years ago now, almost 70 years now. Those people, the medical tyrants, are going to spin this year's cold and flu season into a political battering ram with which they will continue to assault Christian liberty and just the ordinary liberty of even you stupid slackers out there who've handed yourselves over to the tyrants. So the tyrants are going to continue to batter you about the head and shoulders, and they're going to do it with an average cold and flu season that they're going to convince everyone is some horrible, catastrophic Omicron event. And they're going to pull it off, and I'm shocked at it, but it's happening, and I'm watching it in real time, and I can't believe it. But there it is, happening right in front of God and everybody. It's a mass delusion event. That's what's occurring. I think that may be a term that I've coined. It's a mass delusion event, and it's defined when one big lie about one of the most important aspects of any societal event becomes accepted and even enforced as the truth. When the big lie becomes accepted and then enforced as the truth, you have a mass delusion event. And the term that I'm going to define this mass delusion event with is a couple of terms. Because of the coronavirus and because of the pandemic. Those two terms. Or the pandemic has caused. That's another term. These terms will be used by historians to illustrate how human beings refuse to admit that what actually occurred in 2020, circa 2021, was not because of the coronavirus. It was not because of the pandemic. It was not that the pandemic caused anything. What occurred in 2020 and 2021, the historians will tell us eventually, will tell our great-grandchildren. What happened was a historic failure of courage and common sense. And in light of this historic failure, the people and their leaders, whether in the Capitol, in the State House, or in the pulpits, or the dance clubs, or the football stadiums, all the leaders of the people and the people insisted upon and promulgated this fantasy that what happened happened because of a disease. And that's the delusion. Everyone's got so much invested in the delusion that they can never admit they were wrong. And that's the definition of going straight to hell, is never admitting you're wrong. And stopping and gathering yourself and reassessing and changing your direction. And that's what I'm watching happen right now in real time. And it's happening. And worse yet, forget about the fact that the masses have deluded themselves into convincing themselves that they didn't experience an historic and catastrophic failure of courage. That's not what happened. No, it was because of the coronavirus. It was a pandemic that caused all this, all the bad things. But worse than that, folks, worse than that, they are going to delude themselves into believing that all the bad that happened All the bad happened because of, well, number one, because of that disease, which implies that nobody really had anything to do with it. It was a disease. It wasn't anybody's fault. It was just a disease, you know? Like, we don't blame people for getting cancer, so we can't blame ourselves for destroying the world over fear of a respiratory virus. We can't. It was a disease. But then on top of that, there was all those people who wouldn't go along. You know, those unmasked people and those unvaxxed people. So they're going to delude themselves into believing that it was our fault. We're the ones, along with the disease, of course. So nobody's to blame for the coronavirus and for the pandemic. But then there are people to blame for why it went on for so long and things got so bad. And it's those unmasked, it's those unvaxxed, it's those unbelievers. It's the heretics who wouldn't bow down. The heretics are to blame. Burn them. Get them. And so watch. You just watch with me, folks. Americans, the vast majority, this weekend and next, maybe through the whole winter, they're going to watch the 99% vaccinated NFL, the National Football League. They're going to watch them shuffle games and cancel games this week, maybe next week, maybe all through the winter. And it's going to happen. And why? Because people are getting COVID. And they're vaccinated. The vaccinated are getting COVID and they're testing positive and everyone's freaking out. And this is going to happen in broad daylight in front of God and everyone. But still, the people will not see the truth. Even when their pagan gods and their gladiators reveal it right there in their sacred temples, in their stadiums, they're going to see it all as a lie, but they're not going to admit it's a lie. And they're not going to notice that none of the football players are getting sick. They're just testing positive. But what's horrible is a case. It's a case. There's cases. Cases are going up. But the thing is, it won't matter. It won't matter that nobody actually gets sick, that nobody in the NFL goes to the hospital. It won't matter that they're all vaccinated and that they're all testing positive and they have to cancel games. None of it will matter because they've all got too much invested in the delusion. All of them. From your neighbors to the people in your church to the people in the government to the people at the dance club to the people on TV to the people on the news. Everything they have is invested. Their person is invested in the delusion, and they can never admit that they were duped or that they were weak or that they were stupid or that they were scared or even just that they were wrong or that they even made a mistake. And they will figuratively kill anyone trying to save them and to stop them. And after that, they'll either snap out of all this or, heaven forbid, they'll actually kill anyone trying to save them. Actually, I mean, I got a story here in New York. They've arrested people for going into a restaurant and not showing their proof of vaccination. People actually arrested. I'll post the video in New York City this past week for going into a restaurant and not. So they will actually arrest. So the actual arrests are occurring. How long until the actual concentration camps? How long until the actual mass casualty events? How long until the mass murder of anyone who won't bow? I don't know. You think this is hyperbole? You think this can't happen? Do you think this medical tyranny is any less dangerous than any of the tyrannies in the past? Do you think? I don't think so. And for those of us who haven't bowed, and for those of us who won't worship in the temple of COVID, I just want to remind you that the unflinching eye of history and history's creator is upon us. All of us, those of us who are not afraid to call this for what it is and to call the masses out of their delusion, to call them out of their mass delusion events. The eye of history and the creator is on us. And we'll be persecuted and we'll be ridiculed. We'll be feared. I've been feared at the grocery store for just showing my face. So yeah, we'll endure the ridicule, the fear, the ostracization, quite possibly will be arrested, quite possibly imprisoned, and quite possibly eventually even killed. But that's not going to be the last act for us, because it's history and the Creator who will be our final judge. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. I'm going to go to the war file really quick, where 98% of the American military has been vaccinated. The Marine Corps announced this past week that they're going to discharge a total of 103 people who didn't get the vaccine. 103 out of 80,000. The Army relieved 6. The Air Force, 27. No report from the Navy for whatever reason. Anyway, 98% of our military are basically sheep. And that, by the way, that's not surprising for those of us who were actually in. Those of us who were actually in and actually experienced it, we're not nearly as impressed as all of you, like Sean Hannity, who's got the lapel pin, and every time a veteran walks in, he wets himself. Don't make eye contact. Just thank you for your service. Right? Come on, Sean. Get up off your knees. Brush yourself off. Anyway, those of us who were actually in, we're not that shocked that 98% of the military would simply bend the knee, bow, and get the vaccine. We're not that shocked. But what's a little unnerving is that now 98% of our military is participating in an experiment, a medical experiment that could have disastrous impacts on force readiness, the defense of the country, and all the things that the military should be for. But then when I think about what's happening, I think maybe it's not such a bad thing that military readiness may be crippled when this medical experiment goes wrong, or if this medical experiment goes wrong. I mean, since the troops are basically under the command of a bunch of atheistic, communistic sex perverts, hell-bent on destroying me and everything I stand for, maybe it's not such a bad thing that force readiness gets crippled. Maybe I shouldn't worry too much about that. Let's see, a little more politics before I get to the damning article about the medical profession. Should I even do it? You know what? I think I won't do the whole thing, because it's just repeating everything I've been saying for the past 2 years about what I've been seeing with the medical profession. So I've worked in the periphery of medicine for about 20 years, and I got to tell you, it's been embarrassing to watch some people I used to respect who I can't even talk to anymore because of what they've done. But I've got an article that I'll post to this article from the American Thinker, which is a great resource, by the way, for patriotic, God-fearing, Christian-oriented, all of that news. Dr. Steve Karp, who is apparently in cancer research and oncology, he's a medical doctor. He writes an article called "The Medical Profession Implodes." And he talks about how overnight he's seen anti-science attitudes across all specialties relating to everything related to COVID. He says the government has accomplished the complete mind control of physicians. He talks about going to medical meetings, and then he gets into some of the minutiae and some of the unspoken things that happen at medical meetings, that if you've gone to medical trade shows and you've heard lectures and you've heard the presentation of peer-reviewed articles, you see it happen, where there's this questionable statistical analysis that, I mean, any thinking person sits in the back of the room and they think, well, wait a second. You know what he just did? He's a medical doctor. He just got up on the podium. And what he just did was a bit of a sleight of hand. And those of us with a brain can actually see it. But most people don't see it. Even the other doctors in the room, they lap it up and they lick it up and they swallow it whole. It's really embarrassing to watch, but this guy's seen it. And he talks about drugs and how they're... Anyway, the statistics are sometimes massaged a little bit, and everybody knows it. It's almost... Anyway, I don't want to get into that because that's kind of inside baseball. But he says behind the scenes, behind the curtains there at the medical conference, you get into the personal chit-chat about COVID and the vaccines, and he says all the rationality of all the doctors is out the door, and he says rationality amongst medical doctors becomes akin to nursery school. Uh-huh. Yes, all medical knowledge and cognitive abilities vaporize. There's no talk about how the testing is going and the science of personal isolation and masking. There's no talk about any of that. There's no talk about the changing of standard and long extant medical definitions. There's no talk about this brand new radical idea of introducing gene therapy as a vaccine. There's no talk of any of that. There's no discussion of electron microscopy. There's no talk of the various techniques of viral isolation and culturing and all the things that you would think the medical community would be talking about and noticing and discussing rationally and intelligently. There's none of that. Dr. Karp says instead, no, we don't get that. Instead, there's talk of when are you getting your booster? Did you get your booster? Did you get your first dose, your second dose? Did you get Pfizer? Did you get Moderna? Did you get J&J? When are you due? Where are you going to go? And then there's talk about how to stay safe. How to stay safe. And then Dr. Karp goes on, apparently, this is from the article in the American Thinker. I'll link to it. Dr. Steve Karp, MD, says, quote, apparently most physicians have not bothered to review yearly influenza data, the time frame for vaccine development, refresh their memory on definitions such as vaccine, vaccination, and immunization, or their cell biology regarding DNA, RNA, mRNA, and reverse transcriptase, nor have they read up on symptoms commonly associated with influenza-like illnesses, vaccination effectiveness for influenza, or potential issues while vaccinating during active mutation of infectious diseases, unquote. So he's just acknowledging what I've been saying for a year and a half. I've witnessed the medical community dismissing everything we ever knew about everything in favor of this mass delusion event. In fact, I would say the doctors and the nurses are at the vanguard of the delusion. And Dr. Karp appears to agree with me. He says these concepts that he just talked about, understanding definitions in medicine and science, he says these concepts should be grasped by those managing cancer patients. But with COVID and vaccination, they are inverted, viewed backwards or inside out, bearing no resemblance to any known medical principles or care. All things COVID have become the medical exception and have remained the exception for nearly 2 years. He says this lapse of critical thinking. He says there's been a lapse of critical thinking. And then he goes on some examples. If I can easily spread COVID by breathing, then why do you have to swab so deep up inside the recesses of my nose to test me for COVID? And that's a question I hadn't really asked, but that's something that every average medical doctor should wonder about. If you can breathe this onto someone and make them sick, why are we sticking an 8-inch Q-tip up your nose to harvest a positive test? Why? And then he asks, oh, by the way, why haven't any doctors asked, when were masks ever recommended, ever, except for in the OR and for tuberculosis? Ever, never, ever. And then he asks another question. And this guy's not a gene researcher. He's not an expert in gene therapy. He's just an average medical doctor, I believe, in cancer, in oncology. He says, when has gene therapy ever been used other than in incurable diseases? Ever. And you know what the answer to that is? Never, ever. Gene therapy is in its infancy, and yet now it's been broadcast and inflicted upon hundreds of millions of people, a billion people maybe around the planet. It's shocking. So he asks all these questions about that I've been saying. And then at the very end, he asks about the doctors. He says, at some point, physicians may pay a price for their poor judgment. The question is, who will judge them? To which I say to Steve Karp, MD, I will. And by the way, Steve, you will. And God will. And history will. And it's going to be proven that I was right. A year and a half ago, when I stood athwart the medical community and screamed, why are you people doing this? What is wrong with you? It will be proven that I was correct. Even though I was screaming like a madman and in some cases lost my temper and was physically thrown out of doctors' offices for confronting them over their madness and their delusion, it will be proven that I, as a raving lunatic madman, was more in the right than the people participating in this massive delusion experiment, all this weirdness going on. Meanwhile, we go to the Antichrist file, where we check in with Governor Jared Polis of the state of Colorado. The alleged governor in Colorado went on the radio last week and declared that the emergency is over and that he will not implement more mandates, said the alleged governor of Colorado. He said the emergency is over. Public health officials. Listen to what this guy says. This is a slippery, slimy, sleazy guy. And by the way, all that Jared Polis wanted was this headline, Democrat governor or Jared Polis says COVID emergency is over. That's all Jared Polis wanted, and that's what he got. Why? Because he's a very crafty, smart, worldly wise politician. And he said on the radio, the emergency is over. Public health officials don't get to tell people what to wear. Mm-hmm. He says public health officials would say always wear a mask, but that's not something that you require. You don't tell people what to wear. You don't. You don't tell people to do this. You don't tell people to do that. And he goes on, it's your choice. I respect that. But, says Jared Polis, it's your fault when you're in the hospital with COVID. So a few things I want to point out. Jared Polis goes on the radio, says the emergency's over. He will not enforce anything. And then he, in his interview, he keeps saying, you don't tell people to do this and you don't tell people to do that. What he's doing is he's deflecting responsibility for tyranny off of himself onto the local officials at the county and city levels, whom he said in his interview he will allow them to make whatever rules they want. So for him, the emergency's over, meaning for him, the responsibility for the madness and the tyranny is not on him anymore. It's on everyone who he says can do whatever they want to enforce what he says is over, but he's not going to say it's over. Or he's going to say it's over, but he's not going to act officially as if it's over, because he's going to allow the city and county officials to continue in their delusional madness and tyranny. He's just going to remove blame from himself. And he says, you don't require this and you don't require that. Notice that. He doesn't say I. He says you, because he's not doing, hey, folks, I'm not doing anything anymore. Huh? My fingerprints. In fact, he took out a basin of water, I believe, and then he washed his hands and he said, look, I'm not guilty of this any longer, said Jared Polis. So he says it's over. But if it's over, Mr. Polis, why are you allowing city and county officials to behave as if it's not over? I know. And so here, I know it's a very politically adroit, very intelligent, market friendly, politically astute, sociopathic behavior is what it is. Jared Polis is a sociopath. He feeds on the destruction of himself and society. And that's what he's done here. Jared Polis, probably the most dangerous politician in America right now, because he fills all of the, he punches all the cards of the leftist maniac coup. He's a homosexual, so he's an open sex pervert, which they desperately want to install an open sex pervert as the president. I mean, right now, we basically have a closeted child molester in the White House and a slut who was passed around by every politician in Northern California in order to achieve her. So they've got the slut and they've got the closeted child molester up there. But what they really want is an open, declared deviant pervert as the president. They want a homosexual. And then eventually a tranny. That's what they want. So anyway, this extremely market-friendly sociopath, Jared Polis, is adroitly removing responsibility from himself as the possibility that there might be some political price to pay for all this madness starts to come into view. It's possible. So Jared Polis adroitly prepares for that. Mm-hmm. Folks, the governor's office in Colorado is not empty. We just wish it was. I believe it's occupied by the most dangerous politician in America, an open sociopath who the left would beg to install. Now, speaking of social pathologies, we go to the big lie file where we check in with Billie Eilish. And he asked his extremely attractive audio engineer, have you heard Billie Eilish's latest?
Billie Idol. I know that.
Not Billy Idol. No. Although, Billie Eilish. Billie Eilish, I'll just say it. It's from the Big Lie file. Pop star Billie Eilish, this is according to Breitbart, pop star Billie Eilish admitted, here's what she admitted, quote, I started watching porn when I was like 11, says Billie Eilish. That's what she's so pretty shocking, right? First of all, it's a girl. Pornography hasn't generally been associated with girls in the past. In my generation, growing up in junior high school, there wasn't a big problem with girls and pornography. Big problem with boys and pornography, not a big problem with girls. Billie Eilish, a girl, started watching porn when she was 11. Where does she make this confession? She makes it during an interview with Howard Stern. Howard Stern, himself a notorious pornographer. You don't believe me? You think Howard Stern just on the radio, he's not involved in pornography? Listen to some of his shows. No, actually don't. Trust me on this. He is a pornographer. So Billie Eilish says she started watching porn when she was 11. She says this during an interview with a pornographer. And then she says this, Billie Eilish says of, she says, quote, I think it really destroyed my brain. And I feel incredibly devastated that I was exposed to so much porn, unquote. And so here's the thing, folks, an 11-year-old girl is innocent. And when an 11-year-old girl sees this type of thing, she's being exposed to it. It's not her choice. An 11-year-old girl would never think to look at this unless it was put where she could get, and then she got, and then her brain is polluted and corrupted, and it's very sad for Billie Eilish. I've always wondered, what's wrong with this chick? Why does she look like she's dead? Well, now I have some insight. Breitbart goes on, Billie Eilish is just one of many celebrities to talk about overcoming porn addiction. Terry Crews, who's apparently famous, says he had a porn addiction. And he says the best piece of advice he has ever got was, Terry, you need to get better for you. You need to get over your porn addiction for you. All right, so I'm going to get into this idea of addiction at some point in a future show. Because I'm going to come back to some things that I've talked about in the past, and I'm going to talk about this whole idea of addiction and that you're an addict and that you have this lifelong condition. I'm going to revisit this. But for now, let me just go to, so Terry Crews says he needed to get better for him, and Billie Eilish says that porn destroyed her brain. She calls it a disgrace. Anyway, I agree more with Billie Eilish than I do with whoever this Terry Crews is. He had to get better just for himself. Okay, Terry. I wonder how that's working out for him. We'll check back in with him. I want to go to NBA champion Lamar Odom, who has been candid in recent years about his struggle with sexual immorality. I'm not going to call it a porn addiction, okay? Because I'll revisit that, all right? A Breitbart calls it his porn addiction. Odom does not use that term. He says, I cheated on my wife and I was a low-life piece of garbage. That's what Lamar Odom says of himself. He doesn't say he was addicted to anything as far as I know. And then Lamar Odom says, quote, God brought me back. Hopefully, so I could tell you my testimony. You can overcome anything if you put God and family first. I'm living proof of that, unquote, says Lamar Odom. So I'll go with that. And Billie Eilish should listen to Lamar Odom. I mean, it might cost her her global, worldwide pop career, but she would be enormously successful if she got past all that. And what she has right now, that's not success. Not success at all. In fact, Billie Eilish is basically a prisoner in a prison right now. She's just being fed really expensive food. That's all. My guess is she's miserable. And it's a shame that she ends up on Howard Stern's show. How does that happen? Talk about a person, an innocent child, fed into a vicious, cruel destruction machine that she ends up confessing one of the most horrible things that ever happened to her to a pervert pornographer on the radio. And she's basically, she's just taken one step deeper into the teeth of the machine. So instead of taking a step out that could help her, she's taken a step deeper into the machine. And it's just sad to see. I'm not familiar with her work. I'm not familiar with whatever it is she does to entertain people. But I did a little research on her, and I noticed something about her that I never noticed before. Before, I noticed the white face and the dead girl makeup and the dead girl persona and the black fingernail. That's all I noticed about her. But something I noticed about her when I did some research related to this story is that she doesn't dress like a stripper, which is noteworthy in today's pop culture. She covers herself up. So anyway, I would like to get Billie Eilish on the air and try to help her, or even not on the air, just anywhere and try to help her. And hopefully someone beside Howard Stern will get to the poor girl, the poor victim. All right, now I don't know if I can do any of this other stuff. I just don't know.
It's really past time.
It's really past time, and it's time to end the show. And so what should we end with? Ending with Billie Eilish would have really been the way to go out, because the rest of this... Oh, here, let's end with this. Yeah, we're going to end with something that's a bit uplifting and some good news, while still casting aspersions and mocking upon the fools who in their hearts say there is no God. The article is from futurism.com, and the headline is, Microbes Are Evolving to Eat Plastic. Yes, yes, yes. The author at Futurism reports that researchers have found that microscopic bugs are evolving to eat plastic. These bugs could hold the key to alleviating anthropogenic pollution. That's right. The article was published in the journal Microbial Ecology, and researchers think that the environment is responding to pressures we are placing on it. A professor of biology at the university, one university or another, it doesn't really matter. I don't know if saying that this was a published peer-reviewed article helps or hurts their credibility at this point. But scientists say that almost 60% of the enzymes that they found in these plastic-eating bugs were previously undiscovered enzymes, and they could break down plastics in a way we haven't seen before. So all the freak people who were terrified about the fact that we're pumping plastic into the landfills, guess what? It turns out that there might be bugs that'll eat the plastic. And now the next step in the research is to test the most promising enzymes that have been discovered in these bugs, test them in the lab to see if they can degrade plastic. And from there, You could engineer microbial communities with targeted degrading functions for specific types of plastic, and we could literally have the bugs turn the plastic back into dirt, which is amazing. So anyway, the hysterics at Futurism, they're sad because they say, oh, it's so bleak that the microbes only evolved due to how much we've polluted the planet. It's not bleak. What are you talking about? So, 2 points. It's not bleak, number one, and it's not evolution. The environment isn't evolving, or what's happening is microbes are adapting to the environment using the information that the creator put into the microbes. And it's not, that's what's happening. So it's not evolution. It's not bleak. It's bleak, says a hopeless atheist author at Futurist. But it's not bleak. No, the future is bright. Yes. The future is bright. It's going to be a warmer winter than usual with lots of sunshine and good times, folks. Because God anticipated plastic and pollution. He anticipated all this. And he built in a resiliency. He built a resilient world and creative men to deal with plastic and whatever we put in the landfills and all of that. And so it's bright times and good times and happiness and sunshine. And that's the Weekly Worldview. I want to thank my friends at Real Science Radio and my other brother, Daryl, who makes it all happen here in the Weekly Worldview studio. Should the Lord tarry, we'll return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.